What are these names we're talking about this morning? I'm Dave now. I'll thank Carl for introducing me that way. No, that was Frank who introduced me that way. What is in a name? It's our identity, right? It's who we are. We've sung about a name this morning a lot. We've sung about the name of Jesus. We've sung about this great I am. We've sang about this one word, this one name. It was Yahweh. And what is that? What are these names all about? Who is this one we are singing about this morning? And that's what we're going to look at in this series that's called Enough. I am not enough, but He is. And the question is, have you really found satisfaction, contentment in Jesus? Because that's who we're talking about this morning. Is Jesus really enough for you? Or do you feel maybe Jesus has let you down? Maybe Jesus hasn't come through with you when you've prayed and He hasn't answered your prayers in the way that you would like Him to answer your prayers. Or you just feel like he hasn't truly been who He said He would be in your life. Often the reason that happens is because we've made up our own Jesus in our own mind, like Pastor Aaron talked about last week. And if you weren't here last week to hear his sermon on out of Revelation chapter 5 on the Lamb who is worthy, go listen to it online. It will challenge you and give you a heavenly perspective like we've been singing about this morning. Didn't the kids do a great job up here? They were awesome this morning. And who did they tell us to fix our eyes on? They told us to fix our eyes on God. And that's what we want to do this morning. But think about it with me for a moment. What's in a name? When I think of some names, I think of one that maybe some of you might remember. Her name was Peekaboo Street. Anybody remember Peekaboo Street? She was one great downhill skier for the United States, won gold medals in skiing. And I always wondered, where'd she get that name Peekaboo? You know, was that something that, you know, her brother, little brother, who's a year older than her, and her parents were playing with her, and all of a sudden the little brother named her Peekaboo or something like that? I mean, I had no idea. You know, you play that little game Peekaboo with little kids. And so, the marvel of the internet these days and Google, and I went and looked it up. Where did she get that name? Well, her parents decided not to name her when she was born. They wanted her to name herself. And so they didn't give her a name when she was born. So they would call her little girl or baby girl or names like that, but they didn't give her a name. And when she was about 3 years old, they had to get a passport for her because they were traveling out of the country. And the passport people said, well, wait a minute, she needs a name. And so they were driving through this remote village, and I think it was Colorado or out west somewhere, and the village name was Peekaboo, and that is how Peekaboo Street got her name. Quite interesting, isn't it? My wife was working in a daycare a number of years ago, and there was this one little girl in there, Hispanic background, and her name was Famali. And they were wondering, you know, the name Famali, I wonder where that came from. And they came to understand that when the mom was in the hospital and gave birth to the little girl, that she was looking at the certificates and stuff they were filling out there, and she thought someone had already named her daughter female. And so she gave her the name Famali. What's in a name? Where do names come from? We want to begin this series. It's called, I could have entitled this the series on the I Am, because that's the name that God gives to Himself in Scripture. We find this in Exodus chapter 3, where Moses is before this burning bush, before he goes into Egypt to rescue the nation of Israel out of their bondage and slavery. And God comes and He meets Moses at a burning bush. And this was a bush that was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. Now, how many in here, you guys can confess this morning, how many in here like to take that Christmas tree out about a month after Christmas and torch that puppy on fire? Anybody here do that? Raise your hands, confess, come on. Oh, come on, I can't believe there's not guys in here. You guys won't admit it this morning, but I see the wives elbowing you, okay? Yeah, you go out and you torch that Christmas tree about a month after Christmas, you know, you don't even have to pour gasoline on that puppy. It just goes right up like in a blaze, right? Well, this is what Moses, burning bushes were no big deal in the desert. Bushes catch on fire in the desert all the time. But this bush was on fire, and Moses, it says in Scripture, it was not being consumed, and it drew Moses' attention. And Moses went over to look at the bush, and God begins speaking to Moses out of the bush, and he says, Moses, I got a job for you. I'm going to send you, you've been 40 years away from Egypt. I'm going to send you back to Egypt now because I need you to rescue my people. And Moses says, I don't want to have any part to do with that, God. And finally, God convinced Moses to do it. And then Moses said to God, who should I tell your people sent me? What is your name? And here's where it's disclosed to us. God gives us his name. I am that I am. It's in the language of the Old Testament, it's just the verb to be. And it's the idea that I was the one who was, who is, and who is coming again. I am the one who is before everything. I am the one who created everything. I am the existent one. I am the giver of life. I am the sustainer of life. Wrapped up in that statement is all of this. And God says to Moses, you tell them that I am has sent you. Well, in the language of the Old Testament, that the way you pronounce that is Yahweh. That's where we get the name of God in the Old Testament of Yahweh, or as it's given to us in English, Jehovah. And that's the name of God that we have clear from the Old Testament. And then Jesus brings us over to John chapter, to the book of John and his life, and he talks about being the I am. And we'll look at a number of these I am statements that Jesus makes. I am the good shepherd we're going to look at today. I am the bread. I am the living bread. I am the vine. I am the light of the world. And he gives us these different things to picture for us that he is God and he is the ultimate provider of all that we need. We sang earlier, and I was writing the words down to this one song, and it was a song that said, our promise, our answer, our Savior, our future is all to him we owe. All to him we owe. It says, in every mountain, if we've got high mountains in our life, difficult circumstances, he's higher. If we've got great burdens in our life, he's greater. If we've got deep valleys in our life, he's deeper. If we have fear, he is closer. If we have doubt, he is stronger. If we're in a battle, he is the conqueror. All to him we owe. And so as we come to John chapter 10, as we begin looking at the various pictures that Jesus gives to himself, describing himself as God, describing himself as who he really is, I am. The people of the day understood that. Numerous times you would read throughout the book of John that when he would make a statement like this, they would pick up stones to stone him, to kill him, because they said he was blaspheming God. Why? Because he was calling himself equal with God. But that's because he is God. And that's who Jesus truly is. That's the Jesus of the Bible. That's the Jesus that came for you and for me. That's the Jesus we want to look at this morning. So over the next four Sundays, we're going to be looking at various aspects of who Jesus claims to be. And I wanted to give that understanding of who is this great I am that we've been singing about, the one that Scripture talks about. He is the sufficient one. He is the one who satisfies. Psalm 23, which is probably the most familiar passage of Scripture in the world, begins this way. It says, the Lord, and that's the word Yahweh there, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. God says, I'm sufficient for everything in your life. I'm sufficient for everything that you and I need in life. I'm the one who's sufficient for that. And that's the God we want to look at this morning. That's the God that we want to step into that world. In John chapter 10, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. And Jesus talks about being the gate to the sheepfold and then talks about being the good shepherd. And I want you to notice some words as we're reading through this passage. There's going to be a couple phrases. There's going to be a couple statements. There's going to be the word listen. There's going to be the word follow. There's going to be the word know or to know. There's also going to be a phrase that it says, lay down his life or lay down my life. And so I want you to notice those as we read through this text this morning. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate